Okay, Rav Sai. We're up to Simen Sadi Beis Seif Beis. And more Simen Sadi Bet Seif Bet. This is based on the Gemara that really Sadi Bet Seif Bet is the Gemara that's right after Sadi Bet Seif Al. Not totally surprisingly. Right here in Chulin Daf. Kuf Chet Amud Bet to Kuf Chet Amud Aleph. It discusses Kipas Cholav Shenafla Al Hakdeira. And it brings down a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamin, the main machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamin here is whether we have a problem of Hanan. Let's just review before we start Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch really, may we read the Shulchan Aruch, is quoting the Lashon of the Rambam, and at least the first half of the Mechaber, which is quoting the Lashon of the Rambam, is more or less a quote of the Gemara. Nafal tipas chalav l'tok tirshal basar, a drop of milk fell into a pot of meat. And the assumption at this point is it lands on a particular chaticha, on a piece of meat in the pot. You see if the milk is bottled in that chaticha or not, right? If the chaticha is big enough, the milk spreads out, then the milk is bottled, no problem. If the chaticha is small enough that it still tastes like milk, then it's a problem. So what do? You give a guy to taste the piece that the milk landed on. If he says it tastes milky, then it's possible chalav, it's treif. If he says it doesn't taste milky, then it's bottle. And as the Ramah, we mentioned this last time, the don de insofkan agoy, being in shisha b'chatir umlav kula asur. For us Ashkenazim, which don means Ashkenazim, we don't use a goy to taste. We rather just use 60 as an estimate of whether it tastes or whether it tastes like milk or not. So if the chaticha is 60 times the milk, then it's butter. If the chaticha is less than 60 times the milk, it is asur. Umisharin bekula, imhaya b'chol ma sheyesh b'kedir mechatich v'yerk v'amara v'atavim k'dei shei chaticha zo echad b'shisha me'akol ha-chaticha asura v'hashar motor. Okay, this is the concept that we mentioned called Hanan. Chaticha atzenasat v'ela, what's the problem? The problem is that if, Hanan is a very dangerous principle, if the milk, let's assume we're Ashkenazim for now, the milk was 1/59th of the chaticha. Therefore, the milk made the whole chaticha bas b'chalav. Now, that whole chaticha is not stevel, the chaticha becomes a piece of treif. Now that we're dealing with taroves, not just the milk and meat. Now the chaticha is treif meat, the rest of the pot is kosher. Now we're dealing with the taroves of treif meat and kosher, because that chaticha became treif. And therefore, if everything in the pot, from the meat and vegetables and broth and spices, is 60 times as big as the chaticha, then the chaticha is asur, but everything else is mutter. But the assumption is, what if everything in the pot is 59 times as big as the chaticha? Then the chaticha asurs the whole pot. This is the power of Hanan, right? Basically, let's say you have a drop of milk that is 1 cc, cubic centimeter, doesn't matter, it's just a unit. And you have a pot, a stew, that is 2,500 cc. You might think 1 to 2,500, no problem, but you forgot about the power of Hanan. If that 1 cc drop of milk lands on a 50 cc chaticha, 1 to 50 is not enough to be bottled, that whole 50 cc chaticha becomes treif. Now, it's 50 of treif in a pot of 2,500. I tried to make the math easy. 50 to 2,500 is also 1 to 50 ratio, and therefore, that's not enough to be bottled, your whole pot is treif. Okay, but medvarim shalom nira. This is only when you didn't stir the pot originally when the drop fell in or cover it. But rather you only did it at the end, later, but if you stirred it from the beginning till later, or you covered it from the beginning till later, covering and stirring are equivalent. What do covering and stirring do? They mix this chaticha in with the rest of the pot, right? If you stir it, this chaticha gets mixed in with the rest of the pot. Or if you cover it, it gets filled with steam, And that steam mixes, the thick steam when you cover it counts like a broth. So it mixes the taste of everything together. And therefore, if you cover it right away, what happens? Let's say it lands in this 50cc chaticha. But you cover it a stir right away. So basically, this drop of milk immediately landed in the whole pot. And the whole pot is 2500, it's no problem. That is the basic yesod of Hanan. Whenever you have, whenever you have a tarovis, like A gets mixed with B, with C, with D right away, then it's fine. It'll be bottled in the entire amount. The power of Hanan, the Isser, the power of Hanan to multiply Isurim, to make things extra Usser, only occurs when you have different stages. First, the A lands in B, and then makes B Usser, B is Hanan, and then B mixes with C. That's when you have the problem of Hanan. To illustrate this, I'll just read you a line from Sif Gimel for a moment. When one piece of meat becomes Usser because milk fell on it, Nasid kol chaticha asur, the whole isur, the whole chaticha turns into treif. If you then cook it with other pieces, you need 60 times not the original milk, but that piece. So you always, Hanan always comes into play. I don't mean Hanan only happens when there's two stages. But I mean Hanan only makes a difference. Hanan is only halachically relevant when there's two stages. First, milk mixes with some meat, and then that gets mixed with more meat. Or more pyra, for that matter. So when first the milk mixes with a little meat, it's not enough to vato, makes it Hanan, and then that gets mixed with more meat. Now, this whole piece of meat is the vela. Now, that can asur up to 60 times its own size in the second step. And how do you have two steps here? You didn't stir originally, you only stirred later. First, you didn't stir. The milk went into one piece and made a treif. Then, 5 minutes later, you stirred. Now, this piece in the vela mixes with everything else. Let me just... Yes?
Well, why do you say
Nevela is just a code word for treif. Because it's like the most classic treif food. Right? I mean, you go to McDonald's, forget a cheeseburger. You know, what's the problem with McDonald's? That it's all nevela. So that's just an expression. Let me just illustrate this by... by putting on the board, not in order of the Gemara, but... what are the different things that can happen? So, let's imagine, here is the case. Here is what happens, and here is the din. Okay, what could the case be? The first case might be, doesn't matter where you say the case. Nier or kisa. Nier and kisoy are the same, because nier mixes all the pieces into the broth, and kisoy mixes all the pieces into the steam. Steam and broth are the same. Nier, kisa, the Gemara discusses, mitchila ba'adsof. What happens in that case? In that case, the tipa is... immediately gets mixed in to the whole pot. It doesn't stay and hang out just in one chaticha for a bit. It immediately goes through the whole pot. What happens if the tip immediately goes through the whole pot? Then basically it's almost always going to mutter in all normal cases. Right? What is the din in that case? The din is that everything is mutter if the whole kedera is 60 times the tipa, you know, which you expect it's normally be. That's not such a bad case. Okay, that's also machlokes tanar. By the way, Rabbi Yehuda is very machmer and says v'chashina shemelo kisa yafi yafi lenu. We're chosh maybe you didn't stir it or cover it properly. Okay, but no impasta like him there. Okay, this is going to psak it's mutter. What about this next case? What about lo nier kisa batchila ella asof? You didn't stir or cover it right away, but you did stir or cover it right away, or cover it later, right? So what happens here now? Two stages happen. Stage one is that
The tiba oseret et hachaticha.
Right, the tipa asers that chaticha, because the tipa sort of just hangs out of that chaticha and asers it.
And chana, the tipa becomes an avela. That is before you stir. Step two is chaticha is oseret the whole kedira.
Because now this chaticha is a chaticha treif, and it's much bigger, right? It's 50. Now it asks the whole kedira, meaning what's the din? The din is that
the chaticha is a surah if it's not 60 times the tipa, and then the whole kedera, by kedera, I don't mean the pot, like the middle. I mean the stoop, everything in it, right? Kedera in modern Hebrew, right? I mean, they use it so much, but they use it. It means the middle of the pot, the kli. But kedera in Chazal can mean the kli, the utensil, but it could also mean the stoop, whatever's in it. Here it clearly means whatever's in it. The whole kedera is asura if it's not 60 times, and here's the magic word, the chaticha. It's not enough to be 6 times the tipa, it has to be 60 times the chaticha. Now, the chaticha is not just the vela. Okay, those two, it's machlokas whether you say chanan or not. But we, paskim, we say chanan, that's makubal on everyone. Okay, there's an interesting raivid who says, no, you can only say chanan if the old min means not batal, seeing the connecting things that have nothing to do with each other, and no one knows what it meant until Rav Chaim came and explained very, very, very sharply exactly what he meant, but we're not going to get into that now. Now we have, yes.
Where is the Chanan of
here, this is the Siman of Chanan.
This is the Siman
of Chanan. Chanan is referred to in many other Simanim, but this is the Siman of Chanan. Tzadi Beis is Hilchos Chanan. Like if I had to give a name to Siman Tzadi Beis, I would give it a boy's name and it would be Chanan. Then there are two cases that are a little controversial. What are the two cases that are controversial? One discussed in the Gemara and one not discussed in the Gemara.
How about lo ni'er or kisa? Well,
you didn't cover or stir it at all. This is controversial in the Gemara because the Gemara says something, but a lot of Rishonim point out it doesn't make so much sense. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says the following.
Says the, this is one shita. What does the, this is what the Gemara says. What does the Gemara say? Mivla bola. Miflat. Lo, halt.
Okay, I don't remember exactly where it had yields, where it didn't, but that's what Mar says. Mifla bala, mifla lo, halt.
Maybe halt.
I could look inside. Mifla bala, mifla lo, halt. No yields.
Okay, mifla bala, mifla lo, halt.
What does that mean? The drop of milk goes into the chaticha. But you didn't stir and mix the chaticha with the rest of the pot, or cover it and mix the. You didn't stir it and mix the chaticha with the rest of the pot via the broth. You didn't cover it and mix the chaticha with the rest of the pot via the steam. So now this chaticha is not mixed with the rest of the pot, and therefore the drop of milk went into the chaticha, but nothing came out of the chaticha.
Right? Meaning, what does this mean? The milk goes into the chaticha, but the tam from the chaticha doesn't go into the kedera.
Right? Mifla bala, mifla bala. Therefore, what's the din?
The din is The chaticha is asura if it's not 60 times the tikva. But the kedera is muteris, right? Regardless of numbers. Why? Because nothing can affect the kedera, because you never mix this chaticha in with the rest of the kedera. Okay, this becomes very controversial. Before this becomes very controversial, maybe I'll just finish. Oh, no.
Have to do.
Why is this controversial? We'll have to find some place to finish our chart, because there are four theoretical cases, right? Anyone who's mathematical can tell us what case is missing here. I have three on the board that are discussed in the Gemara, which case is not in the Gemara is missing. And you might also remember from the Shulchan Aruch. What?
Only one of them and not the end.
No. Only the beginning and not the end, right? Here we have beginning and the end. Neither. And not the beginning. How about beginning and end? That's not in the Gemara. Why is that not in the Gemara? Let's fill in. That's the one that's not in the Gemara. Why is it not in the Gemara? So this is a big machlokus here. Why might you think mixing at the beginning and not the end is not in the Gemara? Because once you mix in the beginning, then everything's mixed up. Like, beginning and not the end is the same as beginning and the end. It's just lavdavka. Like, it's only the beginning that's important, right? So, what about if you mix it in the beginning and not in the end, right? Valid question. That is not discussed in the Gemara. The most poskim assume that, most poskim assume, we'll come back to it, we won't put it on the board for now, that's because, like, end is lavdavka, right? Meaning, according to the Tor and the Ramah and the Shach, right? Shach, who had then near Kisa Betchila below myself. Right? That's how we paskin. It's all the, we'll get to it, but that's how we paskin. That there's really no free case. If you start at the beginning, who cares if you keep stirring it till the end or not? The Ikra is stirred till the beginning. Okay, we'll come back to it in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, yes, Isaac.
That would have the same thing as case number two.
Same thing as case number two. Oh, sorry, you're right. I wrote this in the wrong part. I apologize. Thank you for your help. Okay. Or just Tchila Lefi Ramah Lechum. Thank you for that correction. Okay. Now, yeah.
When you're mixing while falls in, both of you notice the note falls in and you mix right away. Is that considered a tefillah, or is it only one starting?
So what counts as right away is a good question. Simple pshat is, what counts as right away means that you see it falling in, and then you mix it right away. That counts as right away. Anything longer than that doesn't. I realize I haven't given you a measurement in, milliseconds. But that's a right away doesn't mean you have to be coincidentally mixing it as the drop falls. It means as soon as the drop falls, you start mixing. Apparently, halachically, that's considered close enough to be right away that nothing happens yet. Okay, now, what's the problem? The problem that bothered all the Rishonim is this. Hold on a second, what do you mean mifla bala, mifla lo palit? Let's imagine our scenario, right? What happens in our scenario? You have a pot. In the pot are, I guess there's like stew. And there's pieces, lots of pieces, etc. Now, obviously, for the milk to land in the piece has to be sticking up, right? The milk lands in a chaticha. Right? Obviously, blue is milk, red is meat. That's Makabal on us, right? So, what bothers all the Rishonim? What do you mifla bala, mifla lo palit if you don't stir it? Even if you don't stir it, what bothers the Rishonim? No, I don't know. That's not a problem. We admit it makes the chaticha. It's just basically, if you don't stir it, it can't ruin the whole pot. Like
the rotative is the inside.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't stir it, it's still the rotative. After all, it goes through the whole piece, right? What do we say? The chaticha needs to be 60 times the tipa, which means the tipa goes through the whole chaticha. If the tipa goes through the whole chaticha, then it gets to the bottom of the chaticha, which is in the gravy, in the broth. If it gets to the bottom of the chaticha, then now it's connected to the whole kedera. Right? What's the assumption here, by the way?
The Shemen and other stuff.
What?
The Shemen and other stuff in Zion.
No, no, besides you get that. You're right. I meant something else there. What you said is true in response to my question. That's just not what I meant. The assumption is that once something hits the gravy spreads it everywhere. Once something hits the broth, the liquid spreads it everywhere. Or steam spreads it everywhere. Obviously, you can't say it was covered the whole time. It couldn't have been covered while it fell. It had to fall. Right? But this is what bothers all the Rishonim. What bothers all the Rishonim is, what do you mean, mivla bala mivla lo palat? If you don't stir it. Even if you don't stir it, it still hits the... It still hits that chaticha, goes through that chaticha. Once it goes through that chaticha, it now goes through the whole pot. That's what bothers the Rishonim. Okay. What does the Re say in response to this? What's the famous machlokas Rashi and Re?
It doesn't matter.
The Re says, Tata, you're right. Even if you don't stir it, it's as if you did stir it. It's mutter as long as you did it 60 times. So what does the Gemara mean then? That's against the Gemara. So what does the Re say about the Gemara? Isaac?
A piece of meat is out of the...
Exactly. Says, here is the famous machlokas. Says three-way machlokas. I know I haven't explained how it's three ways yet. Says the Re. In this case, it immediately permeates through the entire kedera. And it's mutter as long as the whole kedera is 60 times the teapot. Oh, that's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, that's not what the Gemara says. Right? That's against the Gemara. So, says the Re, the case in the Gemara is, how would you draw the Gemara case according to the Re? That if the kippa landed on a piece that is totally outside the road to have, then we understand if you don't stir it, you don't cover it, that infection, that treif, can never get through the entire rotef. That's the sheet of the Re. The Gemara's case, where it made a difference if you stirred it or not, is where it's totally out of the rotef. But if it had been in the rotef, then whether you stirred it or not, it would immediately go through the whole kedera, there'd be no problem. That's the Re. However, Rashi says differently. Famous machlokas Re Rashi. Okay, the Mechaber, according to the Rambam. Does the Rambam mean like the Re, or does the Rambam mean like Rashi? Whoever thinks Rashi's right says the Rambam and Mechaber meant like Rashi. Whoever thinks the Re is right says the Rambam and Mechaber meant like the Re. The Mechaber, the Rambam just echoes the Lashon of the Gemara. The Mechaber quotes the Lashon of the Rambam. We have no idea if they mean like the Re or Rashi. Now everyone just says whatever their personal opinion is.
I just want to clarify the Re. In the case that the Gemara is not talking about, he's talking about a case where a drop of milk falls on a chaticha that's on top of another chaticha, right? So saying that the chaticha itself would be usur unless the chaticha is 60 times that piece. If it's not 60 times a piece, would that then make the entire kedera usur?
Only if you stir it, because if you stir it, it'll get into the broth.
Only.
Okay, Rashi says this is the case of the Gemara. Rashi says this is the case of the Gemara. Now, the problem is, if Rashi says this is the case of the Gemara, our question is, why does the Gemara say it makes a difference if you stir it or you don't stir it? Either way, it should go straight through. So here, there are two totally different ways to understand Rashi. What are the two totally different ways to understand Rashi? Right, you have to know there's three shittas here. There's Achlokas Rashi and the Re, but then within Rashi, there's two totally different ways of understanding Rashi. What do I mean by that?
Two totally different ways of understanding Rashi. No, that's, I mean, that is a discussion in the Darkei Moshe, but that's not the most fundamental question. The question is, what happens if this is the case in Gemara? What happens if you don't stir it? So here, there are two different drachim in Rashi. One is Rashi Lefi Mordechai, Darkei Moshe, that's the Ramah on the Torah, and the Shach. And the other is Rashi Lefi the Ran and the Magen Mishnah and the Tas. Obviously, you can add a gazillion shittas to each side, but that's not what's important now. Right? You can add a gazillion, certainly a chronim to each side. Not that many Rishonim are clear. And the Shach and the Darkei Moshe don't pass like Rashi, but this is the Shach and Rashi. What is the difference between them? They say that the time of the Haticha won't go into the Kedera unless you stir or cover. Even though part of it is in the water, part of it in the broth rather, it won't infect the Kedera unless you stir or cover. That's the sheet of the Mordechai, etc. Why not? So here, it's not so clear. This has a little to do with what Isaac just mentioned. The Mordechai says, this would not work within the Mechaber and the Rambam. The Mordechai says, you know why? Because the milk only goes through the top of the Chaticha. It doesn't get to the bottom of the Chaticha. And therefore, only the top of the Chaticha becomes treif. And the top of the Chaticha is not in the Rotev. That's the Mordechai is quoted in the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe himself says, he thinks the Torah holds otherwise, which is something I don't really fully understand. He says, no, the milk, drop of milk goes through the entire Chaticha, but nonetheless, that doesn't infect the whole Kedera, because only part of the Chaticha is in the Rotev. When only part of the Chaticha is in the broth, the taste doesn't spread through the Chaticha, through the rest of the stew. I don't fully understand why. Like, why shouldn't the taste spread if part of it's in the broth? But that's the shita, right? So basically, why? Says the Mordechai, because only the top of the Chaticha became Basar B'chalav. Because he says, look, the top of the Chaticha is not in broth. Not in broth is called sli. Isaac, tell us, how far does taste travel in sli? Close? Kedengatila. Yeah, so it only goes through the Kedengatila. It never, only the top Kedengatila is treif, and that's not touching the road tip, so until you stir it, why would it infect the whole Kedengra? The Darkei Moshe says he thinks at least the Torah holds differently. Says the Darkei Moshe, because even though the entire Chaticha is Basar B'chalav, those, if the bottom board's cut off, don't worry, it's illegible anyway. Even though the entire Chaticha is Basar B'chalav, nonetheless, the taste doesn't go from the Chaticha to the rest of the stew because it's only partially in the Rotev. I don't fully understand why being partially in the Rotev should not be enough to cause the taste to transfer. That's what the Darkei Moshe says. We'll grant him for now. What? Yeah, okay, Seder. What? Basically, it's different than the Re, that they think this is true even if it's partially in the Rotev. The Re thinks that's not true if it's partially in the Rotev. It's only true if it's out of the Rotev. Yeah. What they say about being half in the Rotev is the same as what the Re says of being totally out of the Rotev.
They're even more detailed than the Re.
Correct. Wow. Correct.
I think probably we misunderstanding what we mean by the day in the Kula, but I thought that that is something that we
okay, so it means Kedei Klipa, Kedei Tila, where it touched the Isser. So yes, when a piece of schnitzel falls into milk, it's Kedei Klipa the whole thing, because it's surrounded on all sides. But where a drop lands on something, it's only kedei klipa where it landed. Or kedei netila where it landed. So that depends just how many sides it's touching. Or, for example, if you just roast two pieces of schnitzels next to each other, just kedei klipa on the edge where they touch. Okay. Now, but what does Rashi say according to the other pshatim? They say no way. This is the case of the Gemara. And what happens in this case, if it's partially in, partially out, they say two-step process. What's the two-step process? Step one, the tipa of milk makes the chaticha asura. And then, step two, it does go through the whole kedera. The chaticha oseret, oseres is much shorter than makes asura. Oseres es kol hakedera. Basically, you have three shitas. What happens in this case? You have two shitas, whether or not this is the case of the Gemara. The Rishon says it's not the case of the Gemara. Rashi says it is the case of the Gemara. But there are three shitas. What happens? The Rishon says it's not the case of the Gemara. What happened? The tipa would immediately go through the whole kedera and be multiple shishim in the whole kedera. Assuming the kedera has 60 tipos, which is pretty normal. Rashi, according to one shot, the Mordechai shot, says what happened in this case? It makes this piece of meat treif, but that piece of meat does not give its time to the rest of the stew unless you stir it. And the third shot, Rashi, where the Ran says, it does a two-step process even without stirring. First, it goes into here and makes this chaticha treif. And then, after a little while, it goes into the rest of the kedera, and now the chaticha is chanan. Usually, we wouldn't think of having a two-step process unless you did something to cause a second step. The chiddush of Rashi will be the Ran, which is against the line of the Gemara, is that even though you didn't do two things, a two-step process happens mimilu by itself. First, the drop of tipa hangs out in this chaticha and makes it chanan, and then the taste of that chaticha goes to the whole kedera and makes the whole kedera aser. So there are three shitas. What happens in this case if lo near the kisa klap? Three shitas. Two shitas, whether that's the case of the Gemara. Three shitas, what happens? Either it's not the case of the Gemara, there would immediately dissipate. It is the case of the Gemara. It would stay in this chaticha, and only if you stirred it would be a problem of asering the whole kedera. Or it's a two-step process even without stirring. First it goes here, makes it chanan, and then it spreads. The Ran is a tremendous chumrah. The Ran is a tremendous chumrah. Those are the three shitas. How do we paskin on these three shitas? The Rambam paskins, I don't mean to be cynical. Maybe a little. The Rambam and the Mechabers, quoting the Rambam, how do they paskin on these three shitas? The answer is, whatever everyone thinks, that's what they say the Rambam and the Mechabers say. Because the Rambam and the Mechabers don't really give away too much. Okay, how about all the other poskim? Meaning, not from Shonim, Shonim rather. What do they say? So, the Shach says that we paskin. The Taz thinks we should paskin like more Machmer version of Rashi. The Shach within Rashi thinks we should paskin like the more Machmer version of Rashi. The Shach really thinks we hold like the Ri. The Shach really thinks we hold like the Ri. Shach really thinks we hold like the Ri. And which version of Rashi did Rashi mean? Rashi meant Mordechai's version. The Taz really thinks we hold like Rashi. And which version of Rashi? The Ran's version. And the Ramah, we'll see later in this siman, the Ramah doesn't give it away, but he's very, very explicit. In this Sif doesn't give it away. It's a Galik, he's super duper explicit. That this is the Ramah Me'ikra Din. He paskins like the Ri, although he's also Machmir a little like Rashi when there's no other Tzad in Lahakel. What do I mean, no Tzad in Lahakel? We'll see in Sivdal and Machlok is where the Hanan applies to Shari Surim or not. You mentioned that once. In Shari Surim, he's just holds like the Ri, but in Basra Chalav, he's also Machmir a little like Rashi. Like which version of Rashi? Depends if you're the Shach or the Taz.
So, Ramah is Machmir also for Das Rashi in Basar B'Chalav. Which version of Rashi? The Shach says this version of Rashi. The Taz says this version of Rashi. How do we paskin? Meaning the later Achronim. The later Achronim assume that the Iker didn't hold like the Re. Were also Machmir like Rashi, but like the Shach and the Mordechai's version of Rashi. Later, Achronim assume we're not Choshish for the Ran's version of Rashi. Okay, that's the basic lay of the land. Now, we still have to finish up a few things before we now read this into the Shulchan Aruch. Give me a second. Yeah. Let's go back to the Gemara. Hold on a second. Lo Mir or Kisa Klal. What does the Gemara say? Mivla Bola Miflet Lo Palit. Right, remember what the Gemara say? If you didn't stir or cover at all, it goes into the Chaticha and nothing comes out of the Chaticha. According to the Re, that makes sense. It's talking about this case. Yeah, if you don't stir it, the milk goes into the Chaticha. But why would any case go out of this Chaticha? It's not in the gravy. It's not in the broth. According to the Mordechai's Rashi, it makes sense. Yeah, it goes into this, but the taste won't go to the rest of it without Mir V'Kisa. Nisam Afur's line in the Gemara. And this fits. This is what the Gemara says. This equals the Re and Rashi, the Fi, the Mordechai. But Rashi, according to the Rad, it's not true. If you don't stir it at all, it'll be Mifla Bala, and will also be Mifla Palat. The taste will go into this Chaticha and make it treif, and then the taste of the Chaticha will go to the rest of the pot and make the rest of the pot treif. So, therefore, Rashi, according to the Ran and the Magen Mishnah, would have to say, Rashi, Lafi, Ran, one thing is enough, would have to say a different shot. Nope. Mivla Bola, oh, Miflat Palat. Mivla Bola and Miflat Palat. Against the Gemara. I mean, yeah, that's not fair. What would they say? They would say this line of the Gemara is only half a mina. In the Maskana, the Gemara changes its mind. Okay. They would say, what do they say? Rashi according to the Ran. Rashi according to the Ran would have to say the Gemara changed its mind. They would then say that the Gemara, right, changed its mind. The Maskana. You see why the Ran Shana Rashi is a little weak, because it's against the Mefurish line of the Gemara. That's okay, it says. That line in the Gemara is before they knew Hanan. Once they knew Hanan, they changed their minds. Okay. It's possible. You could always say a line in the Gemara is half mina. Okay, I'm partial to the Shach, but we shouldn't pass this way. And really, Mivla Bala Mifla Palat, meaning, what does that mean? That means that the Chaticha basically the same as this. I'm just going to copy this. Chaticha is a surah. If it's not 60 times the tipa. And then, there's a second step. The whole kedera is asura if it's not 60 times the chaticha. Okay. Let's just chazer this, and then I'm going to quiz you. Okay, so pay attention, because there's about to be a quiz.
I'm very excited.
Okay, good. Okay, so Binyamin gets to answer the quiz first. So then you probably couldn't help Binyamin out.
Maybe
if we stirred you a bit.
Maybe my glory will transfer to him.
But again, we might have to cover the materials. thank you. I appreciate that. Never underestimate how much your laugh means to the person who makes
it. When we're wearing masks, we have to actually laugh a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's review what the Gemara says for Gosai. The Gemara says if you stir, and this all is logical, meaning you have to make certain assumptions, then the assumptions play out logically. Right? I mean, you only have to deal with the Gemara is a few ground rules, then you just play that out logically. If you stir it or cover it right away, you're mixing it immediately. And according to most post-gim, if you just, it doesn't matter if you stir from the beginning to the end, that's just a phrase, or from the beginning and not at the end. As long as you stir at the beginning, it's now mixed, right? You don't have to keep mixing it, right? So then what happens? Immediately, the drop goes into the piece and then into the whole kedera. And therefore, it's both shishim the whole kedera, assuming the kedera 60 times the drop, you know, which is pretty common. The problematic case is, what if you don't stir at the beginning, you stir later? So at first step, you didn't stir. That tipa is stuck in one piece and ashers that whole piece, unless the piece is 60 tipos. Then when you stir, you now it and becomes chanan. Now you mix it into the whole kedera. Now that piece ashers the whole kedera, unless the kedera is 60 times the piece. So, meaning in this here, in 99% of the cases, it would be totally mutter. Here, in many cases, it would be usher. Because usually, chatich is not 60 tipos, and the whole stew is not 60 chatichos, depending. What if you don't stir it at all? Here, the Gemara says, if you don't stir it at all, mivlabola, it just stays in that chaticha, asur that chaticha, and never infects the rest of the pot, because it's never connected to the rest of the pot. That's fine for the ri. Why is it never connected to the rest of the pot? Because it's not in the broth. That's fine for Mordechai's rashi. Why is it never connected to the rest of the pot? Because even though the piece is in the broth, the milk doesn't get to the bottom of the piece. Or the Darkei Moshe says, even though the milk gets to the bottom of the piece, tam doesn't come out. Again, as a machodesh svar. However, for Rashi and Duran, that's not true. They have to say the Gemara changed its mind. If you don't stir at all, it's as bad as not stirring the beginning and stirring later. For the Rashi and Duran, these two cases are the same. Why a two-step process happens? First, it lands the chaticha and stays there and makes it asr and chanan. And then, on its own, the taste goes out to the rest of the pot and asr is the rest of the pot. The fact that the piece is half in the rotev makes a two-step process. Okay. Now, who's in charge of taking pictures of the board? Isaac. Now we're ready for a quiz.
I was never good at quizzes.
Well, till now.
I feel ready.
Okay. Good. Okay, now this is going to be very easy. All I'm going to ask you is, what's already on the board? Just backwards. Okay.
Perhaps the fact that it was on the board is
irrelevant. Sure, as long as you wrote down the board.
I wrote down the board in different parts.
I tried to draw on my screen at the same
time, but I ended up like, oh, I'm going to hold more. I
Okay, whoever's on Zoom is also allowed to participate in the quiz. Maybe I'll even call on you. Okay. What are the three shitas? There are three shitas. The Ri, Rashi, Lefi, Mordechai, and Rashi, Lefi, Ra.
Mordechai and Derek Moshe.
Yes, but they're the same. They're similar enough that compared to the other shitas, they're the same. Okay, now. What cases could you have? You could have the case, remember, the piece that it lands on could be partially in the rotev or totally out of the rotev, right? So, here you have the chaticha is out of the rotev. Is above the rotev, or the chaticha is miktsasa betocha rotev, right? It's partially in. Now, in each of these cases, you could have three different scenarios. What are the three different scenarios? Beyond self, lo near, I'm putting near and kisa the same thing, right? We're not going to write pisa. Lo near betchila. Elo levasof. Lo near klal. Here also. Near mitchila. Via itself. Yeah. Lo near betchila, elo lemasof, Lomir Klal. Right, we have six columns, three rows. Who's the math major? How many boxes do we have?
Six columns, three rows, 18.
Very good. You're not even a math major.
My father was.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so all we have to do is fill in these 18 boxes. It's beneath them. It's beneath their comment. It's beneath their comment. Yeah. There's a guy, he just went in base measures part of the day before Corona, who's such a chush of math professor. He doesn't even do anything that involves numbers. Anything that involves numbers, too chush. Okay. Okay, Victor. Now let's just fill it in, right?
Numbers are off the letter.
So according to the read. Now let's give ourselves a little more room. Rashi, Lefi, Mordechai. Okay, let's go. According to the re, Binyamin, ready to fill in the boxes?
Yes.
So let's go. According to the re, what happens if you're near Mitchil of Yad Sof?
In the first case?
Yeah.
The whole thing is going to be Asher.
What do you think, Isaac?
No, wait. The whole thing is going to
be... Near Mitchil of Yad Sof, you stir it the whole time. What happens if you stir it?
I always need Mutter, I'm sorry.
If you stir it the whole time, the whole thing's going to be Mutter. Why? Because it immediately gets mixed in. As long as with the one condition.
As long as it was a whole gallon of milk that fell in.
Right. Mutter. If the kandera equals 60 times the tifa. Right? Not so hard. Okay. You know what? Let's say this better. What's the status of the chaticha, and what's the status of the kedera? So what would you say here? You would say here that mutter, it's all the same. There's no difference in the chaticha and the kedera, because it immediately dissipates. Mutter, if the kedera is 60 times the tifa. Okay, great. What would Rashi say about this case, if you're near Mitchil of Yad Sof? Now, Rashi thinks this is not in the Gemara, right? Rashi thinks this is not in the Gemara. But, l'chora, what would he say? L'chora, Rashi would not argue with the Ri about the Ri's case. He would just say, logically, if you stir it, you stir it, right? So, he would say the same. I think, or everyone would say the same, right? Logically, Rashi wouldn't disagree. It's not in the Gemara, right? How about the next case? What if lo nir betchila ella libasof? Then what happens?
Yeah. Chanan's going to apply.
Exactly. Chanan will apply, and therefore, what will be the chaticha? Well, what's the chap of Chanan? That? Exactly. Asura. Unless it's 60 times the tifa, and the kedera is asura, unless, and here's the chap of Chanan, unless it's 60 times the chaticha, right? That's the chap of Chanan, right? Red equals Chanan power.
Woo.
Okay. And here, l'chora, I think Rashi would not disagree. You know, you don't stir it at first, that becomes us. You stir it later, now that you've lost everything else. Meaning, Rashi doesn't think Gemara ever discussed the Ri's case. But I don't think that he would, I don't think he would necessarily disagree.
What's different about only stirring it later?
Because you make two steps. First, the chatipa stays in the first piece. Because like this, if you stir it right away, the tipa would immediately dissipate through the pot. Then it would have a lot of room to be bottled with shisha. But if you don't stir it at first, it sticks in one chaticha. And then it might not have shisha, the loss of that chaticha. And then when you stir it later, that chaticha is now chanan. Basically, the chap of not stirring it right away, but only later, is to make chanan. Hanan happens when it first mixes with a small amount, and then gets mixed with a bigger amount.
Well, why is it different from Lonier Klau? Conceptually.
Lonier Klau and Lonier Bethil Basof are the same at first. It sticks in that Chaticha. But then what happens? Then does it. If you're Lonier at all, then maybe it stays in that Chaticha and never infects anything else, because you never connected it to anything else. If you were Lonier Klau, Lonier Bethil, and then you were near Basof, it made that one piece Hanan. And then it goes to everything else. Let me give you an example. Forget about Nir, forget about a pot. Let's say I have 1 cc of milk and a 50 cc chaticha. Lonier Klau, the 1 cc of milk goes into 50 chaticha. Now it's treif. It's treif, Lonier Klau, and it's treif, and the rest of the world is kosher. Lonier Bethil Basof is like the following case. 1 cc of milk falls into 50 chaticha, and then I take that 50 chaticha and throw it into my cholent. Right? First it wasn't mixed, then it was. The one milk falls into the chaticha, now the chaticha becomes a 50 chana. I take that 50 chana and throw it into my cholent. Now it can answer the whole cholent because I threw in 50 treif into my cholent. That's what Lonier Bethil Basof creates.
But you have that same case without the air. Lunar,
well, so the whole thing
would
be also right. Right? If you
had one
tifa
that falls into
150
as the
tifa,
then that
tifa
falls into the
cholent. So it's near is like mixing it into the cholent. Near is like me putting it in the
cholent
because it's not in the
cholent
until you stir it in.
Yeah, so I don't really understand conceptually how these two are different. Like I'm finding these examples challenging because they're not really giving me.
Okay, here we're in the read, right? So let's remember what happened. It fell into a piece that's out of the stew, right? If I don't stir it, it's like this piece was never part of the stew. This piece was like sitting on the next table. Until I stir it, this piece is not part of the stew. This piece is just next to the stew. It's like the steak that I never put in the cholent. When I stir, what I do when I stir is... I mix this piece down into the, it's like putting the piece into the cholent. Stirring is in putting the piece in the cholent. Until I stir, the piece isn't part of the cholent. I don't know if that helps at all.
Right. No, but then, if that's the case, then why is Lonier Bethil Basof so different than doing it the whole time?
Because
in both cases, you're still mixing.
Because if I stir it right away, then as soon as the milk goes in, it goes into the whole stew. It spreads through the whole stew. And it's bought to Bashishim, the stew is large. But if I don't do it first, it gets stuck here. If it gets stuck here, this isn't big enough to move after the tipa. Again, let's assume this is 50. And this is 2,500. If I stir it right away, it's like the milk fell in here, 1 to 2,500. Bottle. If I don't stir it first, the milk only stays here, 1 to 50 is usher. Now through Hanan, this 50 becomes 50 of treif. Now when I stir it, 50 of treif is mixing with 2,500 kosher, that's not enough to bit of a shisha and it's all treif. Yes?
Side question. The whole concept of tzima, according to the Chabad, doesn't it go against Hanan?
No, because Hanan...
It's about tasting, so at the end of the day, if you can't taste it in a huge kadir, then it's mukter no matter what.
No, the Chabad thinks tzima works for each step. No, because like this. Let's say... At first, you could taste the milk in the chaticha. Now this chaticha becomes a chaticha's nevela. Now, it's this chaticha's nevela, which is treif meat, gets mixed into your stew. Now it's meat and meat. And once it's meat and meat, you can always, there's no such thing as you can taste it or not taste it.
But if that wasn't meat, let's say it was a
potato. Let's take the following case for the machaber. This lands becomes with. Let's say there was only one piece of meat and the rest was potatoes. The milk fell into one piece of meat, made it hanan. Now the piece of meat gets stirred into the potatoes. Now, I don't care if the potatoes taste like milk or not, but I care if the potatoes taste like meat. If the potatoes taste like meat, then there'd be treif. If the potatoes didn't taste like meat, they'd be kosher. That's still the power of Hanan. Without the... Though there's a chacham on the whole Hanan. If you didn't have Hanan, you would say the potatoes don't taste like milk. They're fine. But over here, as long as the potatoes taste like milk, they're treif. Okay, but the case usually is when you have one piece of meat, you have other pieces of meat, which is why the chacham is the same. Okay. What about Lonier Klau? What if I don't stir it at all? Then what would happen according to the read?
Only the chatira is asura, but kedir is mukhtir.
Exactly. The chatira is asura unless it's 60 times the tipa. The kedira is muteris. Okay, Rashi, according to the Mordechai, would agree. What would Rashi, according to the Ran, say in this case? We can't know 100%. My intuition is that he would also agree. He would admit that it doesn't spread for to a second chaticha, you know, without, right, probably.
But there's no rotev.
Because there's no rotev, why would it spread? What? Exactly, there's no rotev between the chatichas. Okay, basically we discover that the Ri's case is not so controversial. The Ri's case is not so controversial. Is this the Gemara's case? Only the Ri thinks that this is the Gemara's case. Everyone else thinks that it's not. Right? Only the Ri says this is the case in the Gemara. For Rashi, this is not the case in the Gemara. Obviously, if we extend that to here, it's Rashi who thinks this is the case in the Gemara, and the Ri thinks this is not the case in the Gemara. They sell shitas, just whether or not it's the case in the Gemara is the machlokas Ri and Rashi. What was the case of the Gemara? Okay, now let's get to the hard part. What would you say if it was partially in the Rotev? What would the Ri say? The Ri says it's not the case of the Gemara, right? The case of the Gemara is where it's partially, where it's totally out of the rotev. What would the Ri say about this case? Isaac.
It's all about that.
As long as the
case.
Okay, how about this case?
Also, it's all about that.
Yeah, for the Ri, all these cases are the same. Why? Who cares, stir it now, stir it later, don't stir it at all. If it's partially in the rotev, it's already stirred in. It's naturally stirred in. So it's partially in the rotev. So the Ri would say all these cases are the same. All these cases are the same for the Ri. There's only one answer to all these cases. Mutter if the kedera equals 60 times the tipa. Because that's the whole chop of the Ri. The Ri says this can't be the case of the Gemara. In this case, stirring is irrelevant. It always zips straight through the whole stew. That's the whole chop of the Ri. Okay, but Rashi says it is the case of the Gemara. If it is the case of the Gemara, obviously it has to make a difference if you stir it, don't stir it, etc. So fill in according to the Mordechai. Who wants to take a turn who hasn't gone so much yet? I see Liam is scared to answer. He turned off his camera.
Sasha.
Sasha? No pressure. No pressure.
Sorry. It's partially in the rotev.
What?
Huh? If the case is partially in the rotev?
Yeah, we're partially in the rotev. Why don't we start with this box? Rashi, according to Mordechai, what happens if you stir the whole time?
Then it would only be, you would need shishim, no?
Shishim in what? Keneged what?
Keneged the entire kedera. That's the case where it's nivabala, mifalabala, no?
No, this isn't the case of mifalabala, mifalabala. This is the case. If you stir it right away, think, what happens if you stir it right away? What happens to the drop of milk if you stir it right away?
Everything is absorbed.
It gets absorbed everywhere. If it gets absorbed everywhere, then it's going to dissipate through the whole kedera. Right? What are we saying? We're saying that it's mutter if the kedera is 60 tipos. Right, everything's much as the kedera is 60 tipos. Okay, what are the next cases? What if you're lomir betchila el basof? Then what would it be? Anyone? Isaac.
Classic case of
Hanan. Classic case of Hanan, exactly. This would be the classic case of Hanan, meaning the you see that squiggle means when the chatich and the kedera don't have different rules, right? Here, the chaticha would be asura, unless it was 60 times the tipa, and then it becomes chanan, which then means that the kedera is asura, unless it's 60 times the chaticha. That is the power of chanan. this becomes, the chaticha becomes chanan, because first it only sits in the chaticha, and then you mix it through everything else, and everything becomes usher. Great. Okay, how about this case? What if you didn't stir it at all? What would be the din? Exactly. The chaticha is asura, unless it's 60 times the tipa. The kadir is muteris, because how could anything possibly get to the kadir? Nothing can happen to it. Okay, which of these three boxes would the Ron's version fill in differently?
Bottom left.
Exactly. Here he'd say the same. Here he'd say the same. This box, what would he fill in this box, Binyamin?
The whole thing is...
This box is the only difference in two versions of Rosh.
The whole thing is true.
Okay.
No, it's not muteris.
The whole thing's muteris.
The whole thing is muteris.
No, that's what Reed would say.
Only
that's another case of Hanan. Unless it's 65 of the tipa, because he says this will be a two-step process, even though you didn't do anything to chip to. It's a natural two-step process. He's the only one who holds it. There will be a natural two-step process. Yeah. First, the tipa will hang out in this chaticha and make it Hanan, and then the whole kedera will be asura, unless it's 65 of the chaticha, because of the power of Hanan. The first step of Hanan was to make it usher. This is the three-way machlokas, and you see, the three-way machlokas is mostly centered around this case. This is the only case there are three different sheets about. What happens is partially in the rotav and you don't stir. The Reis says, regardless of whether you stir now, stir later, don't stir, it immediately moves to everything as batel b'shishim. The Mordechai version says, it stays in that piece, and only if you stir later, it stays in this piece. This piece is Hanan. But only if you stir later will this piece infect the rest of the kedera. And the Ron says, nope, it stays in this piece for the first step of its journey, makes this piece Hanan, and then commences the second step of its journey, and this piece gives time to the whole kedera and makes the whole kedera treif. Okay, if you know these charts, then you understand the sugya. Okay, I hope I didn't make mistakes in the charts. I'm counting on you that if I made a mistake, an unwitting mistake in the chart, that you would have pointed it out. I actually made a chart for myself. Should I see if it matches? Yeah, looks good. Okay, now let's just read this through and deal with some of the more technical and side issues that the Mefarshim discuss in this Sif. So, what do we see in this Sif? Let's start reading again. Nafal Cholav Letov Kedera Shel Basar. By the way, Isaac, whenever you get a chance. Nafal Cholav Letov Kedera Shel Basar. And what case are we talking about here? We know, he's about to say, the case we start off talking about is Lo Nir Betchila El Basar. So now we're talking about the case of the Gemara of Lo Nir Betchila El Basof. We know what the Gemara says about Lo Nir Betchila El Basof. The Chaticha is Aser, unless it's 60 times the Tipa. And if the Chaticha is Aser, then it becomes Hanan to make the whole pot Aser, unless the pot is 60 times the Chaticha. So let's read it. So
how do we know
the Shulchan Aruch is the same case as the Gemara? Because the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam. The Rambam is obviously talking about the same case of the Gemara, because why would the Rambam not talk about the case of the Gemara? Like, the Rambam brings down cases of the Gemara. The Rambam would skip the Gemara's case and talk about a different case.
But if the Rambam ambiguous
enough, and argues about whether the Rambam is like that, then it's not Pashi. It's not Pashi because the words of the Rambam. It's Pashi the methodology of the Rambam. The Rambam always brings down the case of the Gemara.
Right.
So obviously, they're talking about whatever case the Gemara is talking about, the Rambam's talking about. Whatever case the Rambam's talking about, the Mechaber's talking about. He never says, do I think it's the Reed's case or Rashi's case? If you want, in my opinion, I mean, this, I think it's more likely the Rambam's talking about Rashi, the Rambam holds like Rashi than the Reed. Why? Because the Pashup shot, if you just told me a case of a stew, I would think Rashi. To me, the Reed seems to be the Okimta. Stew with things sticking up like a Tower of Hanoi. No, Pashtas, most of the pieces are partially in the rotif. That was for you, yes. Quickly, how many steps to take? No, we're not talking about that. Lobashev. Okay.
Number of towers squared minus one?
Yeah, I don't remember.
How would you read it? You just learned the Torah. How would you know that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about the case of the Rambam?
Oh, because the Shulchan Aruch's language is word for word of the Rambam. Like the Shulchan Aruch's word for quoting the Rambam, the derech of the Mechaber is that whenever possible, he word for word quotes the Rambam. He writes in Meis Yosef that he based his halacha on three pillars, the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush. But literally, he always quotes word for word the Rambam when possible. What do I mean when possible? When there's a case discussed by Rishonim that's important that the Rambam doesn't discuss, he'll quote from that. When he decided Meis Yosef wouldn't hold like the Rambam, then he won't. But whenever we don't disagree with the Rambam, halachically, he'll quote the Lashon of the Rambam. That's a klal gadol in the Mechaber. And if we didn't know that on our own, I bet if we looked at the Baragola, Gimel, he would say, Lashon HaRambam Sham. So we taste the piece that the milk fell on, and if it doesn't taste like milk, it's mutter. And if it tastes like milk, then that piece is usser. That's what we said. Except we said the Ashkenazic way, we don't do a taste test. We just say if it's 60 times the milk, the stomach doesn't taste like milk. And it's mutter. If it's 59 times the milk, the stomach does taste like milk, and it's usser. So Ashkenazim, we like math more than goyim. We don't ask a goy to tell us if it tastes like milk. We just estimate if it's 60 to 1, that it doesn't taste like milk. If it's 59 to 1, it does taste like milk. It's obviously an estimate. Yeah, but asking the goy is also an estimate, because the goy might lie. Okay, we'll see in some inside class all the oneness of whether or not we ask the goy. So we say we'd estimate with numbers. Okay. Now, then what does he say? Then he says the second part. Now, if you're going to stir it later, this whole piece will become chanan, and now you'll need 60 times the kedir connecting this piece. And that's what he writes. Rasharim bekulam hayu b'chol mashish bekedir me'achatichos vayerik v'amarak v'tavlik kedei she'achatichos u'echa mishish me'akol ha'achatichos u'rasharim mutter. Right? If the whole kedir is 60 times the chaticha, then the kedir is mutter. Just as kedir is, the piece is usher. But if the whole kedir is only 59 times the chaticha, it's all usher. And here you can't do a taste test because the kedira has meat and the chaticha has meat. So you can't tell if it tastes like meat or not. But medvar murman, when is this applied? Shalom New York there, betchila kshanafel chalub ela basof lo kisa, also betchila ela lebasof. Havala near betchila basof, if you stir it from beginning to the end, oshe kisa vishas tefilu yatsof, hakol mitzareif levatel tam achalav. Again, in the case of the Gemara, near betchila basof, or in any case, near mitchil batsof, no one disagrees about any case, near mitchil batsof, if you stirred it or covered it right away, then the drop immediately dissipates through the whole stew, so it's all mutter as long as everything is mitzaref levatel, the whole kedera is mitzaref, and as long as it's 60 times the tipa, it's okay. Now, which technical issue comes up so far? Obviously, the Shach and Tazir spent a lot of time debating Rashi, the two versions of Rashi, but we already discussed that. The other issue that comes up here is the question of the Shach Sifkatan Gimel and the Taz Sifkatan Gimel. Different pages in my edition, but they're both Sifkatan Gimel. Which is the following. What's the underlying assumption? Nothing to do with all the complicated parts of the sugya. Before we get to anything, when a drop of milk lands in the piece, what's the underlying assumption? You check if that piece is 60 times a drop of milk or not. Or you check if that piece tastes like milk. What's the assumption? That the milk will go through that piece. Right? That's what it sounds like. And then, what happens then? If you stir it later, if the whole kedira is 60 times that piece, then it's okay. If the whole kedira is 59 times that piece, it's a problem. The assumption is that the milk permeates initially through that piece. Why is that a problematic assumption? Because in Simon Kof Hey, we will learn that if a treif touches something which is called tzli, which is not in virgin broth, then it will not go through the whole piece. It will only go through kedena tila. Basically, when the tipa lands on this chaticha, it's not landing in broth. It's landing on a dry piece. Landing on a dry piece, it should only go through kedena tila. So that is the question that the Shach and Taz's question. It's the Torah's Chatas' question, right? The Torah's Chatas says, there's a steer in the Torah. Obviously, the Torah's Chatas didn't ask a question on the Shulchan Aruch, because Torah's Chas is written before the Shomer. He asked the question on the Torah. Okay, so here is the technical question that what do we see? We see that. Let's think we can squeeze this onto the board. You know what? Do we have to squeeze this onto the board? No, we all know this board, Bopet. We're all good. Here, you know what? Maybe we'll just add a little red line here to show that there's also a superpower of Hanan there. And here, and here. Take a picture of the board, please.
And a frame.
Absolutely.
Put on my wall. It's all going in my bedroom.
You're going to stop. I must be running out of wall space.
Yeah.
No, you print the little ones.
I took the ones down from last year already.
Oh. Let's see. You do each one of those, you know, 5x3, 4x6, or even, you could fit a lot. Probably fit a year's worth. That would be amazing. If you just put all the boards, like, and when you went to sleep, you'd be looking at them as you go to sleep, and every night you go to sleep staring at all the boards the whole year, and then you'll get 100 of them. Yeah. Okay, good Eitza. From now on, if anyone comes to me complaining they failed the Bechina and ask for consideration, I'm going to ask, did you put all the boards on your bedroom wall or not? If they say no, I'll say it's your own fault.
But I just won, so we talk
last year.
I don't deal with the Kabbalah. So what's the kasha they ask? They ask here, it's a side kasha. It has nothing to do really with the whole sugya of Hanan and all this complicated stuff. Just a side technical question. But here's the stira. The stira is in Simon Sadi Beis in Simon Kofei. What do we say? We say that even without stirring at anything, the taste of the tipa spreads through the entire katicha. But it's in the kofe, we say that the taste only spreads through kidei netila of a chaticha without a liquid medium. Meaning, if all the chatichas are submerged in broth, then it spreads through all of them. But just in a solid chaticha, it only spreads through kidei netila. That's the stira. Someone tell me, based on what we just learned, according to which Rishon, does this stira not even exist in the first place? It's not going to help the Shulchan Aruch in the Torah, but according to which Rishon does the stira not exist? This is why, according to which Rishon does the stira not exist in the first place?
Re.
No, the Re admits that it goes through the whole Chaticha. The truth is the Re doesn't say anything one way or the other about how much it goes through. So we're not sure. The Mordechai. Remember the Mordechai said it only goes into the top of the Chaticha, not the bottom. So according to the Mordechai, it's no problem. That's why the Dr. Moshe said that he thinks the Torah can't hold like the Mordechai, because the Torah thinks it goes to the whole Chaticha. So, goes to the whole Chaticha. So what's the answer? The answer is, Lefi the Mordechai, right, basically, the Mordechai is no problem. What does the Mordechai say? If you ask the Mordechai, he says, only kidei netila. He doesn't use the word kidei netila. He says only the top. Only kidei netila. The Mordechai, no problem. In this case, also it only goes through the top of the chaticha. It never said the Gemara goes through the whole chaticha. It says the chaticha. The Mordechai says that means the top of the chaticha. Okay. But according to the Rambam and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rama, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, you have a stira. Okay, that's the problem. That's the stira that the Torah's Chatz is bothered by, that the Shach and the Taz deal with. So, how do you answer this stira? What are the answers for the blue? Right? For the red, you don't need that. So the Mordechai, it's fine. The Mordechai Taka uses this to explain the Shita and Rashi. Okay, what are the three answers of the Shach? Someone tell me the first answer of the Shach. Okay, so tell me the first answer of the Taz. What? No. I'm just saying. It's also the Darkei Moshe. Okay, so what's one answer? One answer is, we're not giving numbers. The Shach just brings out all the answers I know over in the Shach. One answer is you say very simple. The Gemara says that without liquid and solids, the taste only spreads Kedei Netila. Except what kind of taste spreads further than Kedei Netila? No. We mentioned it.
Schumann?
What?
Schumann?
Exactly. Fatty taste. Now, what does the Darkei Moshe suggest? Maybe milk is fatty. If milk is fatty, then we understand how it spreads more. So he says, great pasha, this is talking about non-shamay. There's a word for non-shamay. What's the word for non-shamay in Shulchan Aruch? Kachosh, right? Kachosh. This is about kachosh, which is the code word for non-shamay. And this is, if we assume, let's assume that milk is shamin. It's not an okimta, because either milk is shamin or it's not. It's not like there's some shamin milk, some non-shamin milk. Meaning, there wasn't 3%, 2%, 1% milk in those days. Right? There was just milk. And how shamin is just milk? 3%, right? 3% is whole milk. It's just natural milk. So if you ask me, I would say 3% is not shamin. Come on. 3% is shamin? Everything has some fat in it. 3% is very little. I would not have said 3% is shami. And you know what? All the Rishonim say 3% is not shami. You have to point out the Rosh and the Ran and the Torah and the Mechaber, and everyone says 3% is not shami. I mean, they don't know percents. Everyone says milk's not shami, but they know you can taste things. No, what's shami? You know, cream cheese is shami. You know what percent cream cheese is? I never knew in America. I get here, it says what percent everything is. It makes you feel guilty. Right? What's cream cheese? Everyone is a little different. 28%. That's shami. What? They didn't have half and half in those days.
No, they had like that like cream milk that you buy by accident. I don't smell
it. Yeah, but they didn't have that in those days. Nope. They said milk, and they wouldn't have called it milk, right? So, what's the problem with this? The problem is it's against many, against many Rishonim, right? And I'm partial to the other Rishonim, meaning milk doesn't seem to be fatty. It's only 3. Nowadays, we have scientists. They tell us 3% fat. 3% is not so fatty. You know. Okay, but you can draw the line wherever you want, right? If you draw the line that 3% and up is fatty, and 2.5% is not 3%, yes, then you solve the problem. Okay, but that is a tricky part. So here comes the second answer. The second answer is that, on the one hand, this is dry, this piece of meat, right? It's out of the rotif. But on the other hand, would you say there's equal levels of dryness to something roasting and a piece of meat sticking up out of the rotif of a stew?
Yeah.
No, one has no liquid. The other is out of the liquid, but it's still permeated by liquid. There's steam of the liquid, not heavy steam, because you didn't cover it, but there's some steam. Now, yeah, it's permeated by liquid. Obviously, it's going to be more permeated with liquid than a barbecue. So this is talking about slimash. This is talking about, you know, bishul, but, you know, chutz l'rotev. Bishul chutz l'rotev, the taste spreads more than in tzli. Tzli goes through kedei netila. Bishul chutz l'rotev is really more like bishul. After all, they talk about the hevel hakdeira. There's still steam in the kedera. There's still it's still connected to liquid in some sense. Not fully connected. If it was fully connected, then the teepa would immediately go through, according to most people. Everyone put the rod. That would ime. Okay, but then they add one other thing. They say it's clear in the Torah later that even if a piece is sticking up out of the rotev, if a piece of cheese lands on a piece of meat sticking out of the rotev, it only answers to the atila. So they pointed that Marshal solved this problem and said, no, it's only if the bishel is chutz the rotev and a liquid lands on it, a teapot. Right? So that's what they say. They say, give me a second, if the dry piece is sticking out of a bishel and a liquid lands on it, then it permeates it fully. This is either tzli or, you know, chaticha chutz l'rotev v'nafal alav davar mutzak, a solid. Right? So basically only two factors make it go through the whole thing. A, the thing that's landing on is liquid, a tipa. B, it's landing on a solid that's sticking out of a liquid. Whether the Riyah Rashi, it's still, you know, in the hevel of the liquid, it's in the steam of the liquid. Okay, so therefore those two factors make it go through the whole thing. That's the second answer of the Shach. The third answer of the Shach is an Okinita. The first two are not Okinita, they're Shitas. One is a Shita about where to draw the line of what's called fat, what's called lean. The other is a Shita as to, even though normally when something hits something dry, it only goes through Kedei Klipa, when it's a liquid hitting something dry, and it's hitting something dry in the steam of a pot, what they call Hevel HaKedera, right? Hevel means steam, right? That's why Havel, Havelim, Kol Havel in Koheles means like when I breathe, steam comes out and it disappears and it's nothing, right? Because it's nothing.
What does Hevel mean about the time of it?
Oh, you're being unfair. Sorry. Yeah, I remember when we learned Baba Kama, they call it El Yom, Rabbi Rack. You guys know Rabbi Rack, still around, William. He was very excited that he found in Sports Illustrated from a long time ago, which proves he read at least one issue of Sports Illustrated, I guess, one more than me, or maybe he heard about it. Anyway, that had a story of a skier who fell into a pit, like a hole, maybe just a hole in the snow, and asphyxiated because there was no oxygen. Oh, it means he died because there's no oxygen in there, and it killed him. So actually, an animal or a person can die from the air of a boar because there's no oxygen.
Before the ground.
What?
Before the skier hit the ground.
All right, you know what? The Chazon Ish deals with it. Fine. So I only know two people who dealt with this from a scientific perspective. There was Rabbi Rapp, who told me there's an article in Sports Illustrated that someone once died from landing in a boar and not having oxygen. And then the Chazon Ish also talks about it and deals with, you know, all the details, but it's still a little tricky. He wants to say, no, there really is some hevel that there could be some, you know, lower quality air in the bor, and even though that doesn't really kill you, we don't need it to really kill you. Obviously, everyone knows you really die from the chavata scientifically. Machloka says, do you also need a kolshu tseraf of a hevel in order to be chayiv you or not? But no one thinks the hevel really kills you. Okay, that solves more problem. But I'm shum the chazon ish. We're not learning about a kama now. So maybe we should. Okay, one of these years. Stick around until we learn about a kama. We'll discuss in greater details. What is it? The Shach's third answer is an Okimta. What's his Okimta?
How is it in resolution number two in Okimta?
Ah, because it's not an Okimta, because an Okimta means you're saying, I am now claiming that the case is X. We always knew the case is X. What, that was a liquid that landed on it? The Gemara says a teapot. Teapot's liquid. Right. An Okimta meaning I'm adding a fact that's not in the Gemara. Right. So what's his Okimta? His Okimta was that the Chaticha was Shmeina. Not that milk is fatty. Milk is not fatty. Give me a break. Most Rishonim write milk. Basically, all the Rishonim write milk is not fatty. Or don't talk about it. The piece of meat was fatty. And we see that fattiness makes things spread, whether it's the Oser or the Nassar that's fatty. It makes it spread. And in this case, just that's easy. This is not a kippah. Obviously, they're talking about where the chaticha was kechusha. That's not a kippah. That's clear. Kofei says this is true if the chaticha is kechusha. Just say it landed on a fatty piece. Okay, that works out pretty nicely. The only thing is you have to make it a kippah to the Gemara. Why did the Gemara say? Okay, it was obvious. Okay, let's say that those are the three answers of the shach. Okay, now I think we're ready to continue in the Ramah. Yes.
The fact that the report doesn't mention the fact that even if it's kusha, meaning
yeah.
It's not a case of
no, no. Stam things are kusha until you say they're shy. So it's a dachuk.
To clarify,
that
we recommend reading the book market, we should read that it's rashi and ambiguous.
No, we should read it as if we don't even know if it's rashi or the read. Okay, let's continue the Ramah. Remember, we discussed this one. Says the Ramah, the chen and lo near klal. Oh no, no, not this one. Sorry, the chen and lo near klal lo betchila v'lo besof. If lo near klal lo betchila v'lo besof, the lo kisa klal. If you didn't near a kisa at all, then what's the din? Im yeshishim b'kedera nega tipas cholov shenafal. Okay, Beisiosa quotes this in the Ravid. Okay, the Ravid does say this explicitly, but in a funny way that he then gets himself into trouble. The Magen Mishnah thinks the Rama holds this. Okay, that's just a perish. But what does the Rama say? The Rama says two things. First, the Rama says, what are the two things the Rama says? Again, what are the two things the Ramah says? One, lo near v'kisa klal. What does he say? He says, then, as long as the k'deira is 60 times the tipa, only the chaticha is usur and everything else is mutter. Right? So what does he say? He says that basically, the chaticha is asura, right? Again, unless it's 60 times the tipa. But the kedera is muteris. Is muteris. What does that prove? That works according to which two of the three shitas? Right, exactly. This works. This works for Re and Rashi Lefi Mordechai. Not for Rashi Lefi Ran, which is why, who is the one who was a fan of Rashi Lefi Ran on this page? Who did I say was a fan of Rashi Tfi the Ram on this page? The Taz. So the Taz says, yeah, this Ramah makes no sense. He can't understand this Ramah. What do you mean he can't understand? He doesn't mean he's not being naive. He's not saying, I can't understand the Ramah. He means the Ramah's wrong. Of course he understands the Ramah. The Ramah's not like him, but he thinks it's wrong. Which is why the Taz argues on the Ramah. The Taz holds like Rashi, according to the Ran. Okay, that's the first part of the Ramah. Now, we have to add one more thing. Right? Ramah, one star. He adds one point. What does he add one point? He says, now remember, we're knowing not according to the Ran. He says, the Kedera is Muteris, but he adds one point. If Yeshishim B'Kedera Negera Tipa, this is a little strange, because the Kedera should be Muteris even if it isn't 60 times the Tipa. I mean, it probably is, but that's not the point. Because if you didn't stir it all, the treif taste can never get into the whole Kedera.
So this is something that that all the Achronim were bothered by. All the Achronim were bothered by this line in the Rama. Right, after all, if, what's the question? If we're not like the Taz, Mivlabala, Miflatlopalat, then the Eira should be Muteres, even if it's less than 60 times the Tipa. Which is why the Gra says, if you look at the Gra here, if you have Sifkatan, Sifkatan Tas, Tal Sofer Ubitzarch Lo Leos Vichuli Im Ein Shishim Bachaticha Negev. That, he said to the Tal Sofer, what he meant to say is, not whether or not the Kedir is Mutter. What he meant to say is that if the Chaticha is less than 6 times the Tipa, the Chaticha is Aser. But the Kedir is Mutter in all cases. Therefore answers the Gra. It's a Tal Sofer. He never said it. Right? Because the Kedir is Aser, even if the whole Kedir is only 59 times the Tipa. Because there's no way for the treif taste to get into the kedera because you didn't stir. Okay, everyone has their own answers here. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has an answer. The Shach has an answer. You know, it's hard to tell. Everyone's just theorizing. The the Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that he actually gives a good shot. He says, based on Herman some kofei, well, maybe. Maybe it's a good shot. The Herman some kofei says a new chumra that is not found beforeish in take it back that may or may not be found depending on what a dikula is in Shas that if something shamein it even goes through all the chatichos even without stirring and the Rama says it's in kofei that we're not bekiyim we treat everything as shamein. Says, because we're not Bekim, we treat everything as Shamein, therefore we say, maybe it's Shamein and immediately went through the whole Kedera, or maybe it's Kachrish and stayed in the top piece. So, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he says, no, Ramal Lishitase, De'ein Anu Bekim, and therefore, we're Machmir as if the Cholov is Shamein, and now he says something, which the WFOver earlier discussed. How is that not a problem for here? But he says, so maybe it immediately permeated all the Kedera. Whole Kedera. Because a shumming thing always travels everywhere. Okay, so that's what he says. The Ramah says, maybe the Tipa is shumming, so you always need 60 in the Kedera and the Tipa in case it's shumming. And in case it's not shumming, then an Asur is just the Chaticha.
Then why is it shumming? Then why is the Chaticha even not there?
Because we're only machmir both ways, because we're not Bekiyim. You're right, if it was really shumming, then the Chaticha wouldn't be Asur. Since we're not sure, okay, the Shach gives a third answer. It says the Shach, he makes the Okimta. That Mitzas Chaticha is Tocha Rotev. And this is Poshet, Ramal Shitase in Sif Dalid. That were Machmirim for both the Re and Rashi. Basically, for Macher, for both the Ri and Rashi, and it's partially in the Rotev, then according to Rashi, the Mordechai's version would stay in the Chaticha. According to the Ri, it would go through the whole thing. And that's why you need Shishim. Right? And therefore, basically, according to both these Chatin, maybe Tipa stayed in the Chaticha. Or maybe it permeated the entire Kedera. That's why the Ramah says that Chaticha was also because maybe the Kippah stayed in the Chaticha. But maybe it went through the whole Kedera. So the Kedera has to be 60 times the Chaticha. Why would it maybe have stayed in the Chaticha, maybe gone through the Kedera? Probably the Kedera, maybe it's accomplished, maybe it's something. We ask now, we don't know anything. We don't know what anything is. According to the Shach, because he makes an Okemta that's partially in the Rotev. So maybe Rashi's right, and it stayed in the Chaticha. Mordechai Rashi. Or maybe the Ri's right, and it went through the whole Kedera. Okay, that's three ways to defend this line. And the Rav just says he never said it. No, because the Shach has this, remember, the Shach holds like the Ri. So he thinks the Machaber was talking about what's outside the Rotev entirely. And then this Ramah is talking about what's half in, half out. So that's a little duh. Next line of the Ramah. Ramah 2. Oh, we're in for Ramah 2. Let's make some room. Says, what about the case that we did not, that we pointed out, was the only case not in the Gemara? What about near Batchila v'lobasof? What if you start at the beginning, but not till the end? So says the Ramah, v'chein em near Batchila okisa miyad. Avgav lo near v'lo kisa l'basof. If you stir and cover it right away, but you didn't stir and cover it at the end, only at the beginning, kolak dir mitzarif, u'shen near v'kisa miyad, sh'nof shom iser. The whole kedir is mitzarif, as long as you did it right away. What about near or kisa? Near or kisa? Batchila. Here you have two opinions. Says the Ramah, and says the Shach agrees with this Ramah, and the Torah agrees with this Ramah, and the Mari ibn Chabiv thinks that's what the Rambam holds. Right. So, what are the two shitas? Says the Tor and the Ramah and the Shach and the Rambam, the Fi Mahari Ibn Chabib. You ever see a nun so fit with a chukchik? That stands for Ibn. Ibn is just Arabic for Ben. Right? So, in the Rambam's days, they didn't call him Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon, they called him Rabbi Moshe Ibn Maimon. And that's why Rav Moshe Ibn Ezra is sometimes you're trying to call him Rav Moshe Ben Ezra. So just Arabic or, not that his father's name was Ezra. Like, his great-great-grandfather's name was Ezra, and they were all called Ben Ezra from then on. His father's name was Moshe Ibn Ezra. You know, like, if you're like Stevenson, you know. If your name is George Stevenson, your father's name is Bill Stevenson. You know, but someone up there was the son of Stephen. Okay. Lo Mashanah. The Samari Ibn Chabib, and that's the little one, so it means Ibn, says in the Rambam that, nope, it's as good as Nir Vekisa Mitchila V'yad Sof, that's what we had in the board, two boards ago or so, which means that Kol Hakdeira is Mitzdarev Levatel Hatipa. Or, in the words we used before, the whole Kedera is mutter as long as the whole Kedera is 60 times the tipa. Because you don't have to stir it for a long time. You just have to stir it immediately. It gets mixed. Once it's mixed, it's mixed. You don't have to cover a long time. You just have to cover immediately. Once it's covered, it's covered. However, there is another shita out there. The other shita out there is... by the way, I'm going to apologize now. I'm going to skip the Shach and the Tasbat and Zayin for now. We're going to come back to them later in different simon. You know, we're going to skip them. For now, we'll come back to them in different simon just because I think it's complicated enough now. It'll be much easier to, like, save them for when it'll be obvious what they're talking about.
So,
Shach and Taz Zayin. Shach and Taz Zayin, we're not going to deal with that. Let's go back to the word. The Shach in.
Long
what?
Long
no, I meant the short Shach and Taz Zayin. That's what I'm skipping. Short Shach and Tazbat and Zayin is what I'm skipping. Everything else I'm covering, obviously, you know, off the daf. Anyway, so this is what's discussed by the Taz and Sukkot and Vav is this case that we're discussing right now, and the Shach in Sukkot and Hay. What do they say? What do they say? They say, here, the Shach points out that the Mechaber thinks differently. The Rambam, according to the Torah, and the Beis Yosef, the Torah or Beis Yosef, and hold on, if the Beis Yosef thinks that's what the Rambam holds, and the Beis Yosef is the Mechaber, and the Mechaber was the language of the Rambam, that's what the Mechaber holds, right? Beis Yosef thinks, I'm telling you Pshat in the Rambam, and then he writes the words of the Rambam, so the Shach points out, that's what he holds, right? Right? As the Shach points out, that must be the opinion of the Mechaber. If he thinks of Shach in the Rambam, and he copies the Rambam, then that would work. Right? What is he saying? He says that, no, if you only stir at the beginning, not the end, then we're afraid that you didn't stir properly. If you only cover at the beginning and the end, we're afraid you didn't cover properly. Where does he get this idea from? There's a Rabbi Yehuda Tan in the Gemara who says stirring doesn't help. Maybe lo nir yofa yofa. Covering doesn't help. Maybe lo kisa yofa yofa. So we paskin stirring and covering does help. But hold on a second. Since there is a day that says you didn't stir well enough and you didn't cover well enough, then we paskin it helps, but only you have to at least try to do it as best you can. So therefore, if you only stirred a little or only covered a little, that's not good enough. So what are they saying? Nope. They say that it doesn't count as near v'kisoy. They say it doesn't count as near v'kisoy. If it doesn't count as near v'kisoy, then what happens? Then, I'm not going to put it on the board, but basically, meaning, it may or may not count as near v'kisoy. What does that mean? If you just stir a little now and cover a little now, and then you don't stir and cover more, then if you ever stir it again, maybe you didn't stir at the beginning, only later, and it'll be chanan, it'll be asr. Right, so we're chosheish that maybe it's not like stirring. So does it count as stirring or not? The mainstream Ramah, Shach, Tor, and maybe the Rambam, according to Mari ibn Chaviv, says it counts. The Tor thinks he's arguing with the Rambam. The Beis Yosef thinks the Rambam says it doesn't count. Okay, how do we paskin? We paskin it does count. We paskin that. Then the Gemara says mitchila v'yatzof it's lavdavka. It just means mitchila. So why does it mean mitchila v'yatzof? The contrast with lo b'tchila el basof is mitchila v'yatzof, but it just means mitchila. The Taz says something clever here, which we should paskin like because it's totally logical. What does the Taz say that's totally logical here? The Taz says, you know what? This is all one big misunderstanding. There's no machlokas rishonim. These two shitas both agree. They just mean different things by sof. You have to stir for a certain amount of time, but not for a longer amount of time. What did the Taz say? The Taz, we don't really have much room, says the Taz, and we'll pass like this Taz because it makes sense. Lefi kolar rishonim. He says all rishonim agree. This is all one misunderstanding. There is no room for machlokas. How long do you have to stir and cover it for? Ad hasof or not ad hasof? The answer is depends on by sof. Sof of what? End of time? No. End of the day? No. End of what? So he says, this is all one big misunderstanding. Everyone agrees you have to stir or cover it until the drop of milk disappears and gets absorbed in. And everyone agrees you don't have to stir and cover it until you finish cooking. So if you ask, do you have to stir mitchila v'ad sof until this drop disappears and gets mixed in? Everyone agrees you have to stir until the drop gets mixed in. If you ask, do you have to stir and cover until you're done cooking? No, everyone agrees you don't have to do it until you're done cooking. And therefore he says there's no machlokes to be shown him at all. He just says, you need ni'or for kisoy ad, what's his lashon here?
And he's just saying very, very well. What does he say? I just want to find his lashon. Yichle mamasha shaltipa. The low and sof habishol. Okay. So he says, well, how long do you need to stir it? Till you stir the drop into the stew. What does that mean? You don't see a drop anymore. It dissolves in the stew. Until the drop dissolves. You need to stir or cover it till the drop dissolves. So that's the whole point, that you want the drop to mix into the whole stew. So you have to keep stirring and covering until the drop dissolves. You don't have to do it ad hasof till you're finished cooking an hour or 2 hours from now. Right? Okay. L'chor, the Taz is right.
That means that there are ma and those names felt that ad hasof went until the end of cooking.
He's claiming the Ramah thought ad hasof went until the end of cooking, saying you don't need that.
Right.
And the Rambam, according to those, said it meant till the end of the drop, and you do need that. So he's claiming no one argued. So really, we hold like the Taz here. So what the Taz says makes sense. Which shouldn't take very long. You know, for one drop of milk to disappear, if it lands on a piece of meat, it will be 3 seconds. So that's why I'd like to say we really hold like the Ramah, because practically the Taz and the Ramah are the same thing. It doesn't take very long for the drop of milk to disappear. Okay. So much for this Ramah. I think the only thing left is the second half of the Mishnah. Yes?
So what is it then? What is not doing is only doing is okay for it. You only stir it once the milk disappears?
No, there it doesn't make a difference. He doesn't have to have an exact parallelism. No, that's, you know, he doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to work that neatly. That doesn't bother me. That just means not immediately. Okay. Yes?
In terms of structure, this kind of structural reflection of this year, what could happen? Are we being machreya? How we talking in the chart?
Are we machreya what?
How we talking in the chart and clarifying exactly what the case is in terms of when you serve. And that's what this is. It still falls within the chart.
Well, this is the case that wasn't in the chart. Remember? Near Batril of Lobosov wasn't in the chart. The chart only had 3 cases. This is the 4th case. So basically, we're asking, where does this 4th case go in the chart? According to the Torah and everything, it's the same as one of the 3 cases in the chart. According to the Rambam, if some people, it is off the charts. Meaning, this is a case where it might count the stirring, might not count the stirring, and you just have the chumers of all possible cases. Okay, let's just see if we can at least start finishing this. It's actually not so hard to finish this, Mechaber. Isaac, can you get the board for me? Oh my, it's almost 6 o'clock. Actually, it's not
4:15. That's a very pre-camp David for the Israel in the middle
back. Wait, I'm going to
the sign a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, once you go down to the bottom of the board, I don't see it anymore. Okay. But it's good to see that your mind is on Shlomo's arts. You know, it's like a Rorschach test. You know, what does everyone see here? You know,
I see you. You're saying Rorschach. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. I see someone killing my mother, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Okay.
British people all see.
Yes, and American people always think that British people see teapots. The thing in you know what, it's already 5 o'clock, and this is a reasonable place to break. This V'chein of the Rambam, right, the second part of the Mechaber, is not based on the Gemara. This is a new case the Rambam said in his own that is not found in the Gemara. Is this a new case the Rambam said in his own that is not found in the Gemara that adds some chiddush that's not found in the Gemara, the Rambam thought from his own Svara? Or is just a pashut case of the Gemara without any chiddush? I mean, the Rambam is telling you something that's not in the Gemara. Is he adding halachic chidushim or just telling you things that are pashut? That is the big machlokas in terms of what this Rambam means. Whether he's telling you something that's not interesting at all or something that's big chidushim. And maybe we'll pick up with that Amir Tzashem on Tuesday. So on Tuesday, we'll pick up with the end of Beis, with Gimel. The end of Beis and Gimel are very short, and Dalet is really very, very serious.
We will see how far we can get through Dalet. Dalet is very sodistic, very halachol maisa, etc. So that'll be the game plan. Tuesday, we'll just finish up the last part of Sadi Beis, which is relatively small. Sif Gimel is also relatively small, and Sif Dalet is a real Miktsoa Batorah. That's the famous machlokas called Chanan B'Sha'ar Isurim. Okay. We'll come back to this Mirtz Hashem on Tuesday. Have a great day, everybody. If anyone wants to ask questions, please feel free. If anyone wants to go, then you are free. Free to go. You're not in jail. But, you know, if you leave in the middle of the shiur without explaining it beforehand, then, you know, you feel that I'm disapproving of you. And now you can leave without feeling that I disapprove of you.
What was that meant to the Dagon Rav at some point?
The Dagon Rav, I said, in this case, hold on, if we assume that Milka Shamein, then why should it only go through the first Chaticha? Something Shamein should even go through all this stew immediately. And then it should be bottled in the whole stew immediately. And then it gets into the question, is it really true that something that Shamein goes into all the pieces or only through one piece? And he deals with that's a big sugya in Simon Kofhe. But really, when we get to Simon Kofhe, we'll deal with that a great length.
We haven't said that all
about it. No, I mean, it was on the Sif. I just, like, I'm not going to, you know, go into it so much. It was a long one in the beginning of the Sif. There's a lot in the Sif. How are you, Sasha and Liam?
Baruch Hashem, doing great.
Doing well, Baruch Hashem.